to 3. I'm going to continue speaking on this awesome principle of the love walk, sacrificial love. We've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and it all starts with love, but how important it is and how everything is tied into it. Our character, development of our character, which gives us victory, which brings us closer to Jesus. We experience God through love. It sets the course of our life, the blessings of God, its fulfillment of the law. It even sets our eternal destiny, how much that we will walk in this sacrificial love. And so we said the only way to know God is through the love walk. God has created us in our inner being in such a way that we must walk in love to experience Him and to receive from Him. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? The only way we can really experience God in our hearts is to be obedient to Him. And to be obedient is to follow His commands, which is to love God with all of our heart and to love our brother as ourselves. And Jesus said, when you do that, then the Father and I will come and make our home in you. We will reveal ourselves to you. We will manifest ourselves to you. And all these people out there in the church world that are still full of rejection, having mental problems and everything else, they don't realize that they have to suck it up and live sacrificially for others, even though they feel rejection. And that's what will heal them. It's so profound and yet so simple. Hard to do for a lot of people, but it has to become a way of life. And that's why the Bible says practice love. It doesn't come overnight. You just always got to keep working on it, though. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do we ever stop and think about that when we're mad at somebody? We want to rip their face off. And they only said what they said because they're hurting. And they don't understand what we understand, so we should have a little more patience and love them, because that's the only way they're ever going to acknowledge God in us, and it helps us to die. I grew the most in pastoring. Let's look at Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible. I just like the way it expresses a lot of these things. Ephesians 3. 14. Is that what I said? Yeah. To the end that through their receiving Christ Jesus, the blessing promised to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, so that we through faith might all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit. To speak in terms of human relations, brethren, if even a man makes a last will and testament, I'm not sure. Oh, I'm reading in Galatians. That's why it's not sounding right. I'm halfway through that scripture. I think, that's not what I want. I wonder where I am here. All right. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. Never stop and think, God is your Father. He wants to be your Father. For many of us, the Father we never had. Remember when you had your first children? How proud you were? Wow, I get that. Well, you had a little help, but but that was someone you brought into the world and someone you were responsible for, someone you had to look after for, and you had this desire to provide for them and all these things, but just we wanted to have children. We wanted to have children in our image. But this is what we are to the Father. when we accepted Jesus. He called us. But he is our Father, and he's given us everything that we need. He'll also discipline us, but he is our Father. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory, the rich treasury of his glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. When I read that, I realize how much my life has changed. And he granted it out of his rich treasury of his glory for you and I to be changed as much as we've been changed, because he is our Father. Wow. May Christ, through your faith, faith that worketh by love, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. Build your house on the rock, founded securely on love, in the sense that you come to experience God in such a way that you don't fear anything that's going to come at you. You don't fear any problem, any storm of life, anything that would happen in life. You're not going to fear anything in the last days if we're still here. Nothing. Why? Because our lives will be securely found on love. And that love will bring us discernment, understanding of spiritual things. And the more understanding we have, the more that we will get. To him who has, even more will be given. To him who has not, even what he has, he will lose. This is true of spiritual truth. Many people have learned some things about God and just walked away from him, like I did. Well, I never learned anything, but I walked away from church, and I even lost what morality I had. That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp. Am I on? Yeah, all right. That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people. So, yes, we have the Holy Spirit, but it says we walk in love, that he brings us more and more into the light and reveals more and more to us. Everything's been given to us, but if we don't live this life, then it's just in us. It's not alive to God, because the word working in our heart makes it alive to him. God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of it? Wow. I could just get happy reading those scriptures over and over all day. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ. I know the Bible says Jesus loves me, but how can I experience that love? Here it is. Walk in it. Show it to others. Then it becomes evident within your own heart. The love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge. And if we don't, you know, this is why God has given us heart seminars, to raise up strong Christians. Because if we don't deal with our hearts, we won't live it. Because to deal with our hearts is to walk in love also, as we've already taught. And then we have a lot of Christianity knowing stuff with their head because they can understand spiritual things, but they're not living it and not experiencing Jesus in their heart. And then we have religion all over the world. I'm just so amazed, disappointed, sad that everywhere I've gone in the world and every church I've gone into, I've taught righteousness by faith and was a revelation to everyone in there. They just, we're not living by God's grace. They're just trying to be good so that they can get to heaven, but never experiencing Christ. And then they come to me and say, yes, I realize now I'm religious, but I don't have time to meditate in the word. Well, life is more important than Jesus. They don't even get the fact that if you will spend time to get to know Jesus and the Father, they will look after your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added to you. which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. See, when I'm ministering on Friday, I realized most of the people there didn't even have knowledge, never mind the experience of God. So we got to love them to the point where they want to actually make a commitment to Jesus. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. Wow. I had a sermon last week, Saturday. Guy was teaching. I don't understand this double portion, he says. Why are you asking for a double portion when you can have the fullness of God? Never mind a double portion. How about a tripled portion or 10 times the portion? Well, the double portion was Elisha asking for a double portion of the anointing that Elijah had. But as we grow in God's grace, the anointing will increase for whatever we need. That will be there on a regular basis. And God can use us at any time, even to raise the dead if he wants to. Unto all the fullness of God may have the richest measure of the divine presence. This is through walking in love. And become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Woo-hoo-hoo, I'm getting goosebumps. Don't get too excited now. Settle down. But those scriptures right there, I could meditate on that for 5 minutes and it'd do me for quite a while. It's just so good. Let's look at John 15. I know you guys know a lot of these scriptures, but it's good to hear them again, isn't it? We want to experience this book, not just know it with our head. That's when you get scholarly people and theologians. But I always ask, yeah, but do they love Jesus? John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit. So this is the Holy Spirit always dealing with our hearts. And I was talking to a young fellow just been saved a couple years. Another young couple that Kathy and I are going to be ministering to. They've already invited us to their wedding, but he's full of tattoos from his neck all the way to his waist, or as far as I can see anyways. Maybe his legs too, I don't know. But man, he'd been in jail and drugs and took overdoses a couple times and just was a wild kid, really rebellious. And then he came to know Jesus, but nobody talked to him about deliverance or nothing, but he said, God just started dealing with my heart. Okay, we're going to deal with this today now and take this away. And couple months later, and then I'm going to take this away. Like, he was just experiencing God working in his life. And so it was just exciting to hear what he was saying and how God was working with him. Prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. So God is always pruning us, cutting off the dead wood. Sometimes if we're not spending enough time with God, some of that dead wood starts to grow. Or there's more of it. In other words, the fruit that we did bear starts to die. And he'll cut it off again. No, get back to this. You've slipped again. You haven't spent enough time in this. You're not reached as far as I want you. Let's go to another level. But all the time, he loves you. All the time. You're the apple of his eye. You're his child. Wow. That's the neat thing about grace and being in Christ. The love for the Father has for us and Jesus has for us, that's what sent Jesus to the cross. It will never, ever, ever stop. It is always there. When your kids mess up, you don't throw them out of the house, do you? You try to discipline a little bit and teach them a little bit, but you don't stop loving them. You can't stop loving your kids. They're your kids. Right, Ted? Amen. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. See, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues and not dwell in God. How do we dwell in God? We taught that a couple weeks ago. To walk in love is dwelling in Him, is living in Him. And when we walk in love, He dwells in us because He is love. But He makes Himself known to us. And we keep doing that till all the riches of the fullness of Christ floods our being. Be you constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time deal. Sometimes people start speaking in tongues and they think they've arrived. You're just starting. That's just to help you. Dwell in me that I will, and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. And so a lot of people say, well, I'm in Christ. I'm living in Him. Not unless you're walking in love, which is the scriptures we read a few weeks ago. That's how you may remain attached to the vine. That's how you get grace. That's how you get the power of God and keep getting the anointing to keep living this life and getting more and more truth and living more and more, constantly being hooked up to the vine. Paul said that if you get under legalism, you severed yourself from Christ. See, this is why grace is so important. And all over the world, pastors don't even understand grace. I understand grace because of where I came from. This is why God raises up. This is why people get religious. God raises up a whole new group of people. Drunken pig farmers and people with drugs and tattoos and everything else so that you get a fresh revelation of grace. God doesn't need high-tech people and real smart people and business people. He just needs someone that He knows He can work with. Jesus chose ignorant and unlearned men, not the religious leaders of His day, not the Einsteins, not the philosophers, none of those. Fishermen, tax collectors, people like you and me. They had problems like you and me, but He changed their lives. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. When we walk in unforgiveness, we are vitally cut off from the Lord. And demons can come and oppress us in our soulical area. See, we can't live by the devil's means in the kingdom of darkness and expect God's grace. We can fall from grace. Watch that no root of bitterness springs up among you, thereby defiling many. It's all about character, holiness, the character of God. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch. See, the choice is up to us. If we don't live in him, if we don't walk in love, we're going to start drying up. Like a broken off branch. We're breaking ourselves off from him by not living the message that he's given us. And withers. And slowly we become indifferent. We quit going to church. We quit praying. We quit reading our Bible. And after a while, we still know everything in our head, but we're severed from Christ. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, then ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. That's a whole lot different than just teaching faith. Oh, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so just believe. Believe you have received. Yeah, but are you living for him? then ask whatever you will. See, as we're bearing fruit, we have this relationship with him, and we're experiencing him in our heart, and our heart will automatically have more faith. And we'll know he's our Heavenly Father, that he loves us, that he wants the best for us. You keep living this way for years, and after a while, the blessings start to overtake you, and good things just happen because he knows what you need before you even ask. We had times where we prayed for something and finances or something, and it came in the mail. But it was in the mail when we prayed. It was already on its way. See, this is how God works. But it's this whole thing of the love walk. Because that's the only way we can experience him. That's how we live in him. And we're not going to love at all, then why are we even Christians? And the Bible says, Jesus said, they shall know you by your love. They're going to know that you're different by this supernatural love. When you walk in that kind of love, that's where the anointing is. I wouldn't let Kathy talk to me about God, the Bible, because I wanted nothing to do with religion. I went to a church where they never taught me nothing. I didn't know there was anything to read or that you could learn. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit, even though I already had him and I didn't realize it. All she could do was love me. But that started to affect my heart, the prayers and that love. See, every single person on the face of this earth needs that love because of the rejection that we're born with, the rejection that's developed in our hearts. And that love will start to melt the hardest heart. Sometimes the person is really stubborn, and we got to keep loving them. But you can't stop loving no man anything except to love him. You will always owe love. And the more you keep doing for that person, even though they think you're an idiot, why you keep hanging around, I don't like you, well, that's just the demons in them, the kingdom of darkness. You got to love your way through all of that. I've often taken it as just a challenge. I don't care how miserable that person is, I'm just going to love them. I'll fix them. See, it's how we have to adjust our thinking or we will never be able to live this. Because our feelings will get hurt, our emotions will get hurt, and we'll be defensive and we'll want to strike back or say something or gossip or any of that kind of stuff. None of that is of God. See, our emotions get us into the negative spiritual realm. This is a life of faith. And you have to adjust your thinking. If we're gossiping, we have to realize this is not of God. And it's becoming a bad habit, and it's becoming a part of my character. I'm a gossiper, which can turn into a slanderer, judgment, criticism, pride. God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. We should actually think in such a way, would I talk about that person like that if they were there? Would I say it to their face? And how would I say it? In love to try and help them. If you're talking something negative about a person, I hope it's basically to pray for them or get prayer for them. Sometimes you have to express your feelings, but bottom line is you got to forgive them and love them. Otherwise, it's just gossip and slander, which is being motivated by the devil. Amen, Pastor Hank. You're preaching good now. And we got to catch ourselves on these things because it can just, you know, if you're in the same scenario all the time and the person keeps picking on you or whatever, then, you know, if you give into it, now the devil's got something to work with. So you just got to keep forgiving, keep loving no matter what. Kathy and I have always had to do that. That's why we're still here, and that's why God is using us in the nations. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. Wow, what a promise. But it comes with a walk of love. And as we're growing in love, God is always there to answer our prayers, meet our needs, because he loves us. But if we're not practicing love, maybe sometimes those prayers aren't answered so quick, or I don't know what God's doing. We all got to figure that out for ourselves. But we got to keep our heart right before him. When you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. What a different church world there would even be if everybody just walked in love and wasn't just nice on Sunday mornings. And even in our own lives, any of that negative stuff just makes us feel more miserable. I don't know why we do it. Because we like belly aching and complaining, I guess, or we got to have our opinion. It's really God's opinion is the only one that counts. And he says, love them. Help them to come out of that situation. Bring it to their attention in love. If they don't respond, pray for them. I was talking with Bruce this morning, and I don't know how we got on the subject, but it says in the Bible, if you see a person sin, a sin that's not unto death, pray for them, and I will bring life to them. You know how powerful our prayers are, even for people that are sinning? Jesus said, I will bring life to them. It's intercession, standing in the gap for them. Father, like Jesus, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do or why they're doing it. Pray for people. Such a powerful concept. You know, these things are just coming to my mind as I'm talking. You're getting in on my meditations. this is how God speaks to me. You know, my mind will go here and go there, and, you know, probably preaching to myself right now. I'll have to go home and listen to this again. I'm a long ways from perfect in any of this stuff. But I have to keep catching myself and realizing, no, Lord, I need to do this better. I need to do that better. And there's always room for improvement. Not in the sense that you're beating yourself up all the time, but I used to when I was first saved because I had such a long ways to go. But we always need to be pressing on for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. If we don't, we can get caught up in ourselves, you know. Oh, well, I'm doing all right, and I did this for Jesus, and I did that for Jesus, and I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I'm his child, and I'm going to go to heaven, and whoa, 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 wait a minute. Sounds like you have arrived already. You know what I'm saying? That's why I keep saying sometimes I'm still a schmuck, just a better schmuck than I used to be, but I got a long ways to go. Even though I know who I am in Christ, it keeps me in a proper heart attitude towards God, life, my fellow man, everything else, and a servant attitude. That you're never too good to help someone. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. This is what Jesus is saying. Wow. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on it, because love is the fulfillment of the law. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. The Bible says that Jesus, as a man, learned obedience by what he suffered. I guess in North America, we have it so good, we don't like this word suffer. If somebody is giving you a hard time, that's suffering. Learn obedience through that suffering. Love the people that don't like you. That's obedience in suffering. And you learn obedience by practicing it in those situations. most of Christianity is, well, if you love me, I'll love you, but if you get ugly, I can get ugly too. I'll show you. See, that's our heart responding. Now, in all of that, there needs to be wisdom. As I've always said, we're not the devil's doormat. And sometimes there needs to be confrontation. There's discipline in the church. If someone is living like this and this, treat them like an outsider and so forth, or turn such a one over to the devil or whatever. But that's church discipline. Individually, we have to keep developing this concept of love within our hearts. But there's also the fact that sometimes Jesus confronted the religious people, didn't he? God is love, but he's not a stranger to war. There was war in heaven. God just didn't sit back and say to Lucifer, well, I'm going to keep loving you even though you're a bad boy. Well, Lucifer wanted to take over, and God knew the shemazel that would have caused, and he wasn't going to allow it. And so there was war in heaven. So all of these things have to be balanced out, but individually, we all have to learn to walk and love more and develop more and to get to know God better. I have told you these things that my joy and my delight may be in you. We think the joy of the Lord is singing a happy song, and it affects our emotions because it's a tune that we like, and that's the joy of the Lord. No, walking in love brings the joy of the Lord. It's a joy that's beyond human joy. It's a joy way beyond the emotions. It's a joy that, you know what it is. It's, wow, God's my Father. Jesus is my brother. I'm going to heaven someday. I'm going to be with them for eternity. You know, that when that's a reality in your heart, that'll get you through anything. He's always with me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. And when you do an act of love for someone, you feel good about yourself. When you do something for someone else, when you treat others the way you would want to be treated, it brings joy to your heart because it's an act of love. And see, that love brings the joy of God's presence, the peace of God in your heart. Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I have the greatest joy when I teach and I see lives changed. I have more joy of that than God seeing God do these physical miracles or whatever, and he's done so many of them. I like to see that too, but my greatest joy, Jesus said it this way, my meat is to do the work of him who sent me. And so a greatest joy comes with our giftings and ministering to others and seeing a change in their lives that God is doing something. And that's all a act of sacrificial love because we're putting into them. We could go home and sit down and watch TV and do nothing. Instead, we're going to live for Jesus and serve them. I've told you these things that my joy and my delight may be in you and that your joy and gladness may be a full measure and complete and overflowing. Wow, wow, wow. When I had the revelation of righteousness by faith, I was so stinking happy. I was throwing my kids up in the air and catching them. I mean, the joy was, Kathy said, what's wrong with you? Why are you acting like an idiot? I said, Jesus paid for my sins. Well, I know, but why are you throwing the kids around? It was the joy. I couldn't contain it. It was just, heaven is going to be like that. Just, everybody's going to be happy. To be no more tears, no more sorrow. It's just love, tangible love, peace with God, joy. Wow. See, the Holy Spirit can take you into these places by meditation, but I had to live this life for me to have that kind of joy. That's what keeps me going. Keeps me going in the mission field. Keeps me going here. No matter how hard it gets, I can't stop serving my Lord. I can't stop teaching. I can't stop. I need to teach like I used to need beer to be happy. And everything else I drank. It's wow. Gives me a rush. Joy that is complete and overflowing. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I think joy is the next fruit of the Spirit we're going to be looking at. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. How did he love you? He died for you. And we have to die to ourselves and live for others. No one has greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to lay down, give up his own life for his friends. You are my friends, Jesus says. Wow. I laid down my life for you. It is the greatest expression of love. Not only did he lay down his life, he suffered horrendously in doing it. You are my friends if you keep on doing the things which I command you to do. You are my friends if you keep on doing the things I command you to do. You're just not a child of God. You're just not a son of God. You're not just in the body of Christ. You are a friend of God. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Friend of God. Wow. I do not call you servants, slaves, any longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, working out. But I have called you my friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. I have revealed to you everything that I have learned from him. We always serve God because he's Lord. We serve others because we serve God. But to be a friend of God, you know what that means to me? He doesn't have an obligation to me just as his child like we have to our children. But we're friends. It's beyond even a family relation type of thing. You didn't choose me, but I have chosen you. And I have appointed you. And I have planted you, that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, that your fruit may be lasting, that it may remain abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, as representing all that I am, he may give it to you. See the condition there of answered prayer? Continue walking in love, building a relationship with God. Then we become his friend. Then when we ask in Jesus' name, representing everything that he is, Father, Jesus is my friend. It's a whole lot different than demanding, Father, I'm your child and you owe me. Did you ever have your kids say, I didn't ask to be born. No, if you had, if I would have said no. But this is a whole new, different dimension of relationship with God. That's when the blessings overtake you. And then you have Christians that, you know, pay their tithes and say, I don't know why God hasn't answered my prayer. I paid my tithes. It's like they don't have a clue what God's about yet. We pay tithes because we love him. We want to see his kingdom advance. We want to, wow. We want the glory that he's given us. We want to get that out there with others. Yeah. We want to establish his kingdom. It's about him. It's about Jesus. He's got so many more out there that he wants to minister to. It's not, well, I paid my tithes, now God, I ask this prayer. Answer my prayer. I paid my tithes. Wow. This is what I command you, that you love one another. And if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Those are good words. Well, we better stop. It's quarter to 12. But, you know, I got about 10 points in this love walk, and I've only gotten through four of them yet in about 5 weeks, so But I think it's good to keep going over this and going through the scriptures and just, I'm sure the Lord is showing you things as I'm speaking also about your life and stirring up your heart and desires of your heart and wanting more of God. And all these things happen when we teach the word. The anointing is on the word. But God wants as much of you as you will give him and then some. And the church has never, ever really understood this concept of love and what it really does. It's like they read the Bible, it's, oh yeah. But their concept of love is when they're doing nice things for somebody or they're, you know. But the greatest love is to love your enemies because that's how you grow the most and get to know God the best. Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, we want to be at the point where Lord Jesus, you call us your friends because we've been faithful to live this message that you've called us to, and that we may be filled to all the fullness in our hearts, in our inner beings, the fullness of you, Father, which you've already given us in our born-again spirits, but we want to experience that in our hearts, Lord. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would give us deeper awareness. Stir up our hearts with this word to even a deeper degree that we can practice this love. Give us wisdom in using this love. And Lord, we just thank you that the love that you have for us, that we are bound in your heart by that great sacrifice, Father, that you sacrificed your own son for us. And we're bound in your heart, Lord Jesus, because you died for us. That we cannot be separated from you without there being pain in your heart. And that's why your word says that the Spirit of God jealously yearns over us because we belong to you and you don't want us seeing, committing spiritual adultery and living for the world and going the world's way. Father, there's so much coming in the future here, and you've called us to the front lines. We thank you for trusting us with that power and anointing and that wisdom and understanding of your word that you've given us. Father, you've not withheld any good thing from us. You've let us know what's going to happen in the future, even contrary to much of what's being taught. Thank you, Father, that because of that, what we just read this morning, we are your friends because you've given us understanding. Thank you, Father, for the doors that you're opening for us to be able to get this message of yours throughout the whole world through the TV stations. Thank you, Lord, for using us to help facilitate unity in this area. Thank you, Father, for using us to start revival meetings and revival movements of kingdom-minded people overseas. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to minister to people of all different denominations across the body of Christ with the same message. One Father, one Lord, one baptism, one Spirit over us all, one faith. Thank you, Father, for your awesome plan. We just pray for each and every one, Father, even as you set me in this office of pastor, Father. I pray your blessing on all these faithful family here, Father, in every area of their lives, Father. We release that blessing on them now, Father, that they would experience even more of you, all of us, Father, as we continue to live for you. We don't play church with our lives or play games with you or play games with our lives or allow our minds to play games with us or allow the devil to play games with us in our minds. In our hearts, we set aside you as Lord Jesus. In our hearts, where we believe and where we live and where we think from, we set you aside, Lord, as Lord in our hearts. Continue to release your grace in our lives to take us to new levels of understanding. We thank you that you're so gracious in how you do it. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making us holy, for purifying us, that we may know our Father better. We give you all the praise and honor and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. I don't know about you, but I preached myself happy again.